Well, today I want to talk with you about becoming a model. You heard me right. Becoming a model. I once looked at Lindsay and I said, "Girl, you're model material." And she looked back at me and she said, "What kind of model?" I was not talking about necessarily a runway model. I was not talking about a hand model, a foot model. There's all different kinds of models. but today I want you to know your model material and you can become a model. We're going to discover that today as we really dive back into Paul's life. You see, as we're discovering in his life, and if you live long enough, as you discover in yours, that purpose from God comes with problems with people. We're always like, "God, I want purpose, but I don't want problems with people." And yet, when there is purpose from God, there's also problems with people. Guess what? Even if there's not purpose from God, you're going to have problems with people. So might as well take the purpose from God. And Paul, we find him here, and he arrives in Corinth, and he's probably demoralized. At this time, he's alone. He's not with Silas and Timothy anymore. Do you know what it's like to be alone? Do you know what it's like to feel lonely? Maybe you just recently went through a breakup, and so you're feeling lonely. Maybe you raised your kids and all of a sudden now all of them are out of the house and you're feeling a little lonely. Maybe you started talking politics with friends or so-called friends and now you're like, "They're not my friends anymore." And you're at a place where you can feel like, "I have no support. There's no one to comfort me." And I wonder even at this moment if Paul was feeling like he was losing it. Have you ever gotten to that place? Maybe you're there right now where you feel like, I'm about to lose it. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling." So that's why he's arriving in that state. You know, it appears that maybe he's depressed. You know what it's like to be depressed? I'm not just talking about momentarily, like you're just discouraged. I'm talking about severe depression where you feel like you are drowning in depression, where it's hard to get out of bed in the morning, where it's hard to, even if you want to fake a smile, where it's hard to even go to work. And you know, with Paul, we think like hero, but he's human. And at this point, he'd been forced out of city after city. He'd been flogged. He'd been thrown in jail. He'd been laughed at. Does anyone know what it's like when you're like, "Wait, hold on. I'm trying to follow God. I'm trying to do what's best. I'm trying to live open-handed and serve other people. And yet I'm being wronged." And yet maybe for you, you've been let go. Maybe for you, you've had your significant other walk out on you. Maybe you've had a severing in a relationship with someone very close to you. And you're like, "Wait, hold on, what's going on?" With Paul here, it's like we're seeing like that you can be seen as strong and yet you feel weak. That people might see you as fearless, but the reality is you feel afraid. Or are you going through a season where you're like, how long is this going to last? And how hard is it going to continue to be? Maybe it's relationally or financially or emotionally. I like to ride stationary bikes. You get to set how long you want to ride for and how much you want there to be tension when regards to the pedaling. It's not like when you ride a bike outside and it depends. Is it flat ground or are you going downhill? Yeah. Or up a steep hill? Oh no. On a stationary bike, you get to set how long and you get to set how hard it's going to be. Do you wish life was like that? I know I do. How long do I want this to last and how hard do I want this to be? But that's not how life is. right now, maybe the struggle in that relationship, you don't know how long. You don't know how hard. You think it can't get harder than this, and then it just got even harder. Or financially, okay, how am I going to provide for my family, pay rent, put food on the table, inflation, how much are things going to cost? How long is this going to go on, and how hard is this going to be? You see, there are times when we're like, even if I don't give up, which I won't, I'm concerned that my strength is giving out. In Acts chapter 18, Silas and Timothy, though, we find that eventually they rejoin Paul in Corinth. And I would imagine he was so glad to see them, so glad to hear from them. I know what it's like to travel and to be on the road and then to come back home and just to see Lindsay's face, just to give her a hug, just to be able to talk with her. It is so refreshing. And it wasn't just seeing them, but guess what? Silas and Timothy had good news that the church in Thessalonica was doing well. Does anyone, you just want good news. You're like, okay, I just want to know that to get a call that the rehab, I know my kid's in there for the third time, but I just want a call to know, hey, guess what? It's going well. Or you just want to know the therapy you're in with your spouse. You just want the counselor to say, guys, it's going well. Or maybe for your loved one who's going through chemotherapy, you just want to hear that when they take the latest test and they get the results, it's like, oh, guess what? The results, it's good. You just want to know sometimes in life, after all the negative reactions, there's a positive result. I would imagine that's how Paul must have felt. After all the negative reactions to his ministry and him trying to help people, there's finally a positive result. We live in a world of bad news. You're like, you turn on the actual news and you're like, another shooting. Is the war going to end? Look at what's going on culturally. Look at, wait, what's happening politically? And you're like, wait, hold on, all the bad news. You're like, can I just get some good news? I imagine how Paul must have felt even before getting this good news, like, is what I'm doing making a difference? Because I'm just being rejected, because I'm just being kicked out of town. I think sometimes life can be like that. Like we'll keep going to counseling as long as it's working. Like, I'll keep getting this medical treatment as long as it's working. Like, I can deal with this. God, I can deal with the opposition. But is there any progress? That's how it is pastoring a church. It's like, hey, we can deal with the hard stuff. We can deal with people getting upset because of this or getting upset. But like, God, are we actually making a difference in people's lives? Is there any progress? Many New Testament scholars think that at this moment that Paul couldn't leave his work in Corinth. So he wrote a letter to the Thessalonians. You ever heard someone say, it's the thought that counts? Oh, I was gonna get you a gift, but you know, I was thinking about it, but you know, I forgot. It's the thought that counts. Oh, is it? You know, I was gonna reach out to you. I know you're going through a hard time. I was gonna reach out and see if you needed anything, but I didn't, but I was thinking about you. It's the thought that counts. I want you to know your thoughts don't encourage me. Your thoughts don't help me. Your thoughts don't, it's the thought that counts. Words and actions do. I got to tell you that even just notes, I save notes. I have some notes from my oldest kid that he wrote that I keep in a drawer that I like to look at. I keep some notes that people at church, some of you have written because those notes encourage me. And you see, let's just not think about it. Let's say it and let's show it. And so here's what Paul writes to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. Now, this letter is specific to that church at that time. Paul is writing to those people at that time and that place. Yet, there are lessons from this letter that apply to all of us today. You see, there's a difference between ancient wisdom and modern opinions. We live in a culture today where everyone has an opinion and everyone thinks they need to share their opinion and everyone needs to agree with their opinion. But it's like there's a difference between current opinion and ancient wisdom. Now, you can do whatever you want to do, but when I'm going through a challenging time, let's just say it's in a relationship, normally I go to someone who's older than me, who's been through a season and who came out on the other side to get input and advice, not through some young influencer who has just what sounds easy or what this the current culture has to say about it. If I need some financial advice, I'm going to go to someone who has a proven track record to give me financial. You see, there is a difference between what is current and what has been proven. And yet that's why I love that I get to pastor a church, that I have the privilege of pastoring a church that has young people and not so young people, vintage people of all ages, because we need each other and we're better together. Paul begins his letter and we see here that it is warm and it is personal. I think it's important that we recognize that as Christians, we need to not be cold and distant. One of the many things I appreciate about my amazing wife is she is warm and she is personal. And it's like, man, that's how we need to be. When you come on campus to Faith, just pulling up and seeing the parking lot, amazing volunteer servant leaders, walking in and the greeter, amazing volunteer servant leaders, and the ushers, like everyone should be warm and personal, not cold and distant. And they're writing and they're like, we're thankful for you and we pray for you. I want to ask, who and what are you thankful for? In our current climate, it's easy to just become a complainer and to lose sight of what we're thankful for because of what's going on in our world, because of what's going on in maybe your home and maybe what's going on in your finances and or in your relationship, to recognize that we have a whole lot to be thankful for. And we have a whole lot of people that we can appreciate and we can pray for. I need to be reminded in the midst of a lot of problems in our world that, like, wait, hold on. I am so thankful to have an amazing wife. I am so thankful to have an amazing family. I am so thankful to have an amazing church. And I pray for my wife and I pray for my family and I pray for you. Here's what I've discovered. Thankful people end up having more to be thankful for. We're talking today about becoming a model. Paul continues on. He says, we remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say that again. It was work that was produced by faith. It was labor prompted by love, and it was endurance inspired by hope. We see the triad of faith, hope, and love, which is found often in the New Testament. You see, there's a difference between feelings that you can't see and the actions that you can see. And this isn't just speaking to feelings on the inside, it's speaking to actions on the outside. You might hear, like, or as a parent, tell your kid, you need an attitude adjustment. Or maybe you want to tell coworkers, you need to adjust your attitude. But what if it's not just about adjusting our attitudes? What if it's also about adjusting our actions? You see, this is not merely an attitude decision. There is an active dimension to this, that there is a faith that acts, that there is a love that toils. that there is a hope that grips even when you feel like giving up, that hope that just does not give up. We live in a culture that is like, keep your religion to yourself. Believe whatever you want to believe, just don't share it with anyone else and don't invite anyone to your church. But how can you do that? Because this is a faith that acts. This is a love that toils. This is a hope that grips. I can't keep it to myself. I can't keep it within the walls of my home. I want my life to be prompted and to be prompted by love, to have what's done in my life to be produced by faith. And people say he persisted by hope. That's one of the ways you become a model. It says, for we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you. Oh, I want to encourage you, if you want to go deeper in this, go read John chapter 15. Because you might be feeling unloved right now. It's easy in this world. And we go try to find love in all the wrong places. You're not going to find love in a dating app. You're not going to find love at a bar. You're not going to find love at a club. I would suggest true love, you don't even find love. Love finds you, because it's like, I found God. No, you didn't. God found you. And he didn't just find you, he chose you. I remember being young in PE, physical education. And when we would play the different sports, like they would pick two captains and the two captains would pick teams. And you're like, choose them, I choose them. You felt bad for the kids that, like, we're at the end and no one wanted to pick them. I want you to know, not only does God love you, but God chose you. Verse 5, continuing on, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. People need to hear it, and people need to see it. Speaking of being a... When I was young and in school, I remember every once in a while when we would have show and tell, and you got to bring something to school, and you got to bring that item out and tell all about all the other kids and the teacher, all about what this is and how it works and why you like it. It was show and tell, and that's how we need to live our lives as followers of Jesus. We live in a world where people have shallow concerns, where they act like they're interested, they act like they're concerned, but there's a difference between acting like you're concerned and acting out of concern. To be a person of deep conviction. Jesus, when he sent his disciples out, he told them to demonstrate what it is you're declaring. That as followers of Jesus, it's not just our words, it needs to be our actions. Allowing God's presence and his power to move powerfully, not just in us, but through us. Deeds are human proof what we're saying is true. Signs are divine proof it's true. He continues on, you know how we lived among you for your sake. I love that. It's for your sake. We do so much out of our convenience. You ever like, it's not convenient. It's not convenient to get the kids ready every Sunday and head to church and serve at one gathering and be a part of experiencing another. That's not convenient. It's not convenient to go serve your neighbors who you know are going through a difficult time. It's not convenient to serve at the local food bank. But are we going to do things out of our convenience? Or say, no, it's not about my convenience. It's for their sake. You see, we need to step into their lives, and we need to open up our lives, our homes, our journey to other people. Sometimes things take long, but sometimes we don't have a long time. There's not time. And they weren't there long. But guess what? They chose to maximize these moments. When you think about it, you're like, my kids might be out of the house after 18 years. That seems like a long time. And the reality is the days are long, but the years are short. And that's why as parents, we need to maximize these moments. That's why as also followers of Jesus, in working with other people and supporting other people and caring for other people and investing in their lives, we don't always have a ton of time. We need to maximize these moments. It says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. There's a whole lot of people right now who are like looking at what's going on culturally and like, I don't know how to raise kids in this culture. There's a whole lot of people who are like, my parents were not a good example of how to be a good spouse. I don't know how to be a good spouse. There's people like, I don't know how, not just to be a good employee at work, I don't know how to start my own business. That was never modeled for me. There is a difference between being an imposter and an imitator. Paul's not suggesting to be an imposter. An imposter is someone who pretends to be something or someone they're not. There's a whole lot of imposters out there. Just go on social media. But that's not what this is about. This is not about, well, are you talking about imposter syndrome? No. I'm talking about being a imitator. An imitator is someone who is learning from someone else. I don't know how to be a good parent. I'm going to imitate that person who is a good parent. I don't know how to be a good spouse. I'm going to imitate that person who is a good, but I don't know how to handle my finances. I'm going to imitate how they handle their, you are following them as an example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, you should imitate me as I, just as I imitate Christ. You see, there are examples to avoid and there are examples to embrace. And yet, in order for someone to imitate your life, you must allow them to be in yours and you must actually involve yourself in their life. It says, for you welcome the message in the midst, what? In the midst of good times, in the midst of a good economy, in the midst of a cultural calmness. No, for you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering, but with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. People often reject a good God because of bad circumstances. Are you going through severe suffering right now? Maybe physically, emotionally. Maybe it's relationally, and you're at a place and you're like, if God is good, how could he allow this? If God was good, how could he allow my spouse to do that? If God was good, how could he allow my business partner? If God was good, how could he allow this? And we could talk about free will. We could talk about the reality of living in a fallen world. We could talk about the lack of how most people don't have an eternal mindset, including maybe you and I, but if we can just shift our perspective, we can actually begin to see progress in our life. In fact, we could even experience joy in the midst of suffering. You see, joy doesn't come from the absence of suffering. Joy comes from the presence of God. In fact, growth comes in life. Growth comes from embracing, not avoiding life's struggles. And we can start becoming a model. Verse 7, it says, and so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Listen, you became a model. You were not born a model. Too many people are like, I was just born this way. This is just how I was born. Here's what I found. Most people say that as a way to avoid effort. Most people say that as a way to avoid the challenge of getting better. It's like an excuse. You have potential. Everyone does. But potential requires progress. You might have been born and you have potential athletically, but you might need to get involved in some sports. Not just get involved, but guess what? You might need some lessons. Maybe you want to golf and you need to take some golf lessons. Maybe in baseball, some hitting lessons, some fielding lessons. Maybe you were born and from an artistic perspective, and maybe specifically with music, you could be a great musician, but you might need to take some piano lessons. And everyone in your house is like, yes, or you want to learn drums. You need to take some drums lessons. And parents, maybe you need to get your kids some electronic drums as they're learning, as they're developing. It's like, it takes time. I want to ask you, how much time do you spend getting ready in the morning? Okay, like how much time, ladies, do you spend? Like, do you look in the mirror and you say, I was just born this way, and don't put on any makeup? I don't think so. But how much more important when we talk about spiritual maturity, not just how we look, but how we actually live. This is not about outer perfection. This is about inner progress. They talk so much, people say, oh, Christians, you think you're perfect. No, we're not perfect. We're just committed to progress. You ever see as you walk into a home where parents, as their kids were getting older, they in the doorway, they would mark their height and they would write a date. They would take a pen or a pencil and have their kids stand there and take it right above their head and mark the date. And you can see them getting bigger and they're not like, why aren't you growing faster? You know, why aren't you this tall? No, you're just seeing how that kid is growing. And in life, it's just about progressing. It's about growing. In fact, though, it must be relatable to other people to seem obtainable. That's why perfection is like people like, that's not relatable. I want to encourage you, don't be embarrassed by your past. Don't be embarrassed by the mistakes you've made. People can be like, oh, I could imitate you following Christ because I can relate to that, because I see what you used to struggle with, and I see the progress that you've made in your life. And we begin to see how God can take a mess, and that mess becomes a model for other people. Or you're like, oh, are you just saying be a copycat? I'm saying, well, sometimes we need to be a copycat, but not a copycat of culture. Too many people are a copycat of modern culture. But what if we start becoming a copycat of Christians who are becoming more Christ-like? You see, it's not how far gone you were, how far gone you used to be, but how far you've come. You're becoming a model. In verse 8, it says, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. It became known everywhere. Do you have a reputation? People say your reputation precedes you. Here's the thing. Let our reputation as followers of Jesus be like, yeah, we used to be messed up. We used to be going that direction, but we turned from that and we turned to Jesus. Yeah, some of us were so much going back and forth. I deal with motion sickness where I can't ride teacups, or I can't ride different, you know, amusement park rides that spin, or I feel like I'm throwing up. And sometimes I feel like that when I'm looking at people, because you're turning this way, you're turning to what the world has to offer, and then you're turning to God, and then you're turning to the world, and then you're turning to God. And it's like, wait, hold on, let's make up in our minds that we're going to turn to God. Turn to God, that in the present, as we turn to God, we're going to serve other people. You're like, what about the future? Oh, we're waiting for Jesus to come back. That's how we live our lives. We turn to God, we're serving other people, and we're waiting on Christ to return. 1 Thessalonians, the main purpose is to encourage and reassure people. Because sometimes it's hard in the world we live in that we forget how well we're doing. And Paul's writing this letter to encourage him. And I want to encourage you that you're doing better than you think you're doing. Oh, yes, you are. I know, parents, it's a hard time. You're doing better than you think you're doing. Oh, yes, I know, trying to handle things from a financial perspective, you're like, am I doing? You're doing better. Following Jesus, you're doing better than you think you're doing. You're so focused on how far you have to go that maybe you forgot how far you have come. Are you so focused with what's still broken that you've lost track of the beauty that's already there? I just want to encourage you that you are model material. As I told Lindsay, what kind of model? You might never be a fashion model. Maybe. I'm not saying you are. I'm not saying you're not. You may never be a hand model or a foot model, but you can be a model for other people on how to wholeheartedly turn from the ways of this world and to keep following Jesus.